Well, church family, this morning, have a special treat for you. A friend of mine, Chris, who, when we were launching Hope Valley, Chris Dowd is, first of all, he's pastor of a church, Bedrock Church, in Roanoke, Bedford area. He's been a part of actually more of a church planting movement that's happening there, as they're planting churches quite literally all across the nation. But also more than that, when we started launching Hope Valley Church, he helps lead the church planting initiative for the Southern Baptist Convention, and conservatives of Virginia. And so he was like just integral in us getting started and getting launched. And he has been a massive encouragement to me personally and to us as a church. He's just a champion and a cheerleader, and he just encourages you to keep going. So every time I'm around him, it just encourages me to keep going strong. He just energizes me, and you'll get why in just a minute when you hear him speak. So I'm excited for him to come. He brought his family with him, Jesse and Andrew and John, right? Is it John? Yeah, okay. Well, we're glad to have you guys today. Thank you for being our guests with us. And if you get a chance after the service, get a chance to meet them. But we have just a quick video that's going to transition, and then Chris, take it away.
The last few weeks, people want a refund on 2021 already. It's been a little bit nuts, and our world seems like it's being turned even further upside down, and there's rumors and all kinds of things going on. And I just wanted to take a second this morning, and just as your friend and as a pastor of this church, just ask you a quick question. And this is something that you're going to have to answer in your own heart, but I think it's important that we ask this question of ourselves. And who is shepherding your heart right now? This world is full of shepherds. You've got social media and mainstream media and the talking heads on Fox News and CNN. You've got political leaders. You've got conspiracy theorists. You've got all these people that are vying for your attention and affection and time, and they want to shepherd you into their flock. And my question is, who is shepherding you? We have one good shepherd. He is a good shepherd. And he leads you in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And so my question and kind of challenge to you is to watch who's shepherding your heart right now. Make sure you're not getting caught up in this mess and following the shepherds of this world. Because I can promise you one thing, they can never deliver on what they promise. They'll never deliver on what they promise. There is one shepherd who delivers, and his name is Jesus. And folks, let's just be honest, we have no excuse. We can listen to the Bible as easily as we can listen to Fox News or CNN or MSNBC or whatever we listen to. We have complete access to this thing. You can play it on your phone on your way to work. You can read it in the morning. We have no excuse of not being shepherded by the Good Shepherd. So as a body of believers in here today, I just wanted to challenge you with that and just say that up front. That we need to be watching who is shepherding our hearts.
That's a good word, isn't it? That's my friend Jeremiah Hambrick. I know Jared and Danielle know the Hambricks well, and Jeremiah is lead at Bedrock Roanoke, just down the road, and he just preached a sermon where that was part of it, and they put that together, and I thought, man, I've got to show that to you guys, and we need to talk about it. And because it's a great, great question. And so I'm honored to be here. Man, to be praying for you. Jared, we prayed for these people without knowing their names with Heath and Kevin and the crew when they came up to Richmond for training. What an amazing moment this is to even be on any stage with a microphone around my ear to be sharing the Word of God with you is facts. That God answers prayer, that God is on his throne, he does as he pleases, and there's hope for this valley. And that hope is in Jesus. And so if you have a Bible this morning, we're going to look at some of these things together. If you don't have a Bible, get out your phone. That's what that video was about, right? Get out your tablet, get out your phone, whatever it is that you look at to see the Word of God. Man, I want you to be able to see this. We're going to be in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to focus in on a few verses, but I want to read the context. I want to make sure we understand what these verses are couched in, and then we want to dive in for a few moments in Ephesians chapter 4. So if you found it, Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to begin reading in verse 17, and we're going to go all the way through verse 24. We'll focus there on the end, but let's start reading in verse 17. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds." Why is that? "They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They've become callous. They've given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ!" Exclamation point, right? "Assuming that you've heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus." Here's the great assumption I have walking into this pulpit. I don't know you, you don't know me. That's the elephant in the room, right? Who is this strange dude in the pulpit? Why did Jared ask him to come up here, right? I don't know you, you don't know me, but I know Jared and I know the teaching and the elders here enough to know that when it says here, "I'm assuming that you've heard about him and were taught in him and that the truth is in Jesus," I have a pretty safe assumption that you've heard the gospel from this pulpit in the past. Is that true? All right. Well, then you're off the hook, Jared. If that would have been a resounding no, we would have shut it down and start a resounding yes. So I felt like that was a safe assumption. So based upon the fact that we know the truth is in Jesus, and we've heard this gospel, that Jesus Christ came to die in our place for our sins on the cross. 3 days later, he rose from the grave by faith and faith alone in him and his finished work. We can be saved. We confess Jesus is Lord. Believe it in our heart, God raised him from the dead. You will be saved, assuming that there's an understanding, a basic understanding of that. It then says this, verse 22. "To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." Man, we need to dive into some rich truths there. So let's pause for just a moment. Let's pray, and then let's dive in. God, thank you so very, very much for today. Thank you for your word. It is true. It is perfect. It is inerrant, it is infallible, it is inspired, and so it is authoritative in my life and relevant today. God, I pray that you would allow us to understand, Father, this passage. Holy Spirit, God, help us to not only glean wisdom, but, Father, application. God, would you move us to respond in obedience to whatever you would say to our hearts through your text today. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first thing in verse 22 here says to put off your old self. Now, if you've been coming here for a while, you know that this table is not a regular part of the set. Am I right? Perhaps some of you, the whole time during worship, it was a bit distracting, right? Perhaps some of you are like, what's up with the table? Why is there a backpack on the table? What's going on? Why didn't they clean their mess before they started, right? Well, I asked them to put this there, and I wanted you thinking about that. So now, let me bring it more into the limelight here. And let's talk about it. Because at this table, there's clutter, right? There's just mess. You saw the video and Jeremiah teaching us there. Like, there are things in your life that just keep you busy. Can we just start with this, by the way? Like, this thing right here is a great tool for great good and a great tool for great bad, right? And I don't know about you, but if I start my day opening it, that's a bad start to the day. Right? Because now I'm checking my emails and my messages and I'm at work. So there's something about my day that actually can be cluttered by all that this represents for you. What you look at when you're on this, it might just represent work for you. It might represent something else for you. It's on the table. And so there comes a time when we need to start having conversations about what it is to remove the clutter from the table. And it might be for some of you, it might represent some time and activity spent on this. So I'm going to take this and put this in this big old backpack right here, right? So that's gone. Now, can we talk about this? You're like, come on, you came to preach, not metal, right? I get it. this bad boy right here, if the laptop doesn't get you this well, look at this. I just picked it up and I already got like five things on there. It's just been on there for a few moments and I've already got five things. And right now I'm like, I need to keep preaching, but I kind of want to check what this text is right here. Because, man, if it buzzes, and someone gave me a watch. Now I got a watch that buzzes when this buzzes, and I can't get away from the watch and the phone and the laptop and the... There's a lot that's vying for our attention, right? So I got to do something to declutter my table and get rid of that. And I got some books. Listen, I got some journals. I got some stuff that I'm reading. I got some stuff that I'm writing. I got this book today, Jared Heath, my man, like somehow laser engraved a book with my Bedrock logo on it. Like, this is legit, bro. And so anytime you want me to come back again, I can put in an order for some more Bedrock stuff, right? So my mind's reeling on, like, I'm about to put Heath to work, right? This is, and so there's just stuff that's on your table. And if you can do anything you can to take all the stuff and do whatever you can to get it all packed away, and then at some point you go, okay, man, now I've cleared the table. We need to have a conversation about clearing the table. The passage says to put off the old self. Now, to put off means literally to lay down or to cast aside. Now, we're in Christiansburg, Virginia. Anybody love to fish here? We got any fishers outdoorsy? We're going to get outdoors. All right, I got one. God bless you, bro. And even that was like, you fish, man, it's okay, own it. Now, so when I say cast off, that's not like gently putting that little book in my backpack, right? There's like a, man, I'm going to use a Southwest Virginia word, I'm going to chuck this stuff off of my table, right? If you didn't know, I grew up in Wytheville, Virginia. Anybody here know where Wytheville is? Come on. All right, now I got some participation in the room. Yes. I can be in other places, and they're like, with what? Wytheville? No, it's not Wytheville. In fact, it's Wiffle. It's Wiffle, quite honestly. And then went up here to Virginia Tech. I'm a Hokie. Any Hokies in the room today? Come on! Okay, all right, sorry. I got a little more excited about that because I don't usually get an amen from that one. So, went to Tech for a little while, but then transferred to Blessed Liberty University. Yeah. Oh, come on. Yes, sir. Go Flames. And so, but there's this idea of, I put some stuff, can I just be real honest? I put some stuff on the table at Tech that I wish wasn't on my table. And when God called me to ministry and I transferred up to Liberty, I had to deal with some clutter and some mess that was on my table. There was some old Chris Dowd on the table. In fact, if you go to Wytheville, Virginia today and you say, man, I heard Chris Dowd preach at my church on Sunday, they're going to go, Chris Dowd. Chris Dowd. He preached. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he did. And you can lie and say, man, it was really good, right? They're going to go, he's a preacher? There's some old Chris Dowd that was on the table that I needed to deal with. And these things, it says, belonged to your former manner of life. That's what's on there. Before Jesus, my former manner of life, the way I went about things, the way I did things, what I did, what I said, that was old self, former manner of life, and all of those things, old self, former manner of my life, were motivated, it says, by selfish desires. How many of you know we can really be about me? And there's a lot of motivation and stuff that's on the table because I want it there. And it helps me to feel good about me because they're selfish, deceitful motives and desires that lead to this corruption in my life and my old self and my former manner of life. And there are things on your table that the first conversation you and I need to have this morning is how to remove the mess and the clutter from the table. You see, there's another passage of Scripture that helps us understand that, and it's Hebrews 12:1. Hebrews 12:1 says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also, there it is, lay aside. It's the same idea of removing or putting off old self. Let's lay aside every weight. There's stuff on your table that's heavy. Can we just be honest? It's heavy. things that you've been a part of that bring a lot of pain and regret in your life. Maybe things that others have done that have brought pain and weight in your life. Apparently, there's a way where I can deal with the weight and the burden and the heaviness of the clutter and the mess that either I've caused or someone's caused to me. It says that I can lay that aside, the sin that clings so closely, so that I can run with endurance the race that's set before me. Now, we're going to get to that. The first half of that is laying aside and dealing with the mess. And we're going to get to running. That's where we're headed. But there comes this moment where we need to talk about removing the clutter from the table. What is that for you? What's on your table? And I don't even know what image to represent it, what object I could have had on the table that you would have went, that's me. For me, I put what was in my backpack, right? I got a bunch of digital stuff and books. What is it for you? What pain? What sin that clings so closely that you need to have a conversation with Jesus about today? Because you're having a really hard time sitting at that table and seeing over top of that. We can get to a place where all we see are those things, and it's really hard to run the race. Maybe it's just stuff from last year. Maybe it's COVID. Maybe it's a loss that took place this past year. Maybe you're still trying to cast off 2020, and 2021 came in like a lion. Goodness gracious. But what is it for you? I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to kind of search you and try you and know if there's anything within you that's on the table that you need to deal with today. Because my promise is this: if you will choose to come to Jesus with that and lay it aside and cast that off and chuck it onto the shoulders of Jesus, here's what it says next. Not only to put off our old self, which belongs to the former manner of life, corrupted in deceitful desires, it says, and, there's a second thing here, and to be renewed. So sometimes it's easy, you know, when you're reading through a passage, you're going, man, how does this thing break down? Well, there's three clear moments in these passages. And the second is, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So it's possible. Listen to me. This is why it's good news. It's possible to take the mess and the clutter and the junk and the weight and the burden and cast it off and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Right now your mind's racing. But there's renewal for you. There's not only removal of junk, but now there's this renewal step, which is kind of like, the word renewal means to make new again. Back to the day when. You remember when things were brand new in your faith, when things were brand new in your marriage, when things were brand new in your relationships, when things were brand new in your workplace, when things were brand new, there was this excitement, there was this buzz, man, they couldn't hold you back, and now, stuff's happened. Well, man, how's the marriage going? Well, you know, life happens. No, junk got added to the table. Some you put there. You go, man, I just wish I could go back to when we were dating and when we were first married, and you can. Man, I just wish I could go back when I first got saved, man. I was all about the gospel. I told people about Jesus. I went on mission trips. I served people. Man, I wish I could. You can. It's right here, right? That I can cast off some of these things and be renewed in the spirit of my mind. What that means is a new way of thinking. It means a new focus. It means reclaiming this relationship with an almighty God who loves you so very, very much. That it's possible to not only cast off the old, but then develop a new way of thinking, renewed in the spirit of my mind. And what this means is at the same table, you know, when Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, he says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Man, you say, Jesus, I got a lot of burdens and a lot of stuff on my table. And Jesus says, why don't you come here and have a seat? Why don't you clear the table? Jesus says, let's talk about the weight. Let's talk about the burden. Let's talk about the sin that clings so closely. Let's talk about the hurts. Let's talk about the pains. Let's talk about the distractions. Let's talk about what's on your phone. Let's talk about it. And Jesus begins to help you clear the table. And then once the table is cleared between you and Jesus, there comes this moment of like, I can sit here now. Mm-hmm. And engage in a conversation with a holy and righteous God. Mm-hmm. How's that possible? Only through Jesus. You know, when they sat in Jesus' day and we saw that great video for the kids where the disciples were in the boat. You know, when they're in the upper room and it says they all sat around the table, you know what they literally did? It says they reclined at the table. They didn't have nice chairs like this. They were leaning on each other. They were relaxing. I said, man, I can't remember when the last time I felt like I could recline and lean on Jesus and find rest. He wants to help you deal with the clutter on the table and then help you renew in your mind. I love that verse that says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they will be white as snow. There comes this invitation for God to say, come now, let's reason together. And I get to sit at the table. So not only do I get to remove some stuff, not only do I get to rest at the table, then comes this reset the table. So now I'm going to sit here. I'm not standing anymore in my own power, my own strength. I am resting in Jesus. I am sitting at the table with my Lord and my Savior. And the Bible says this, to put on the new self. So now I've removed the clutter and I've come to find my rest in Jesus. Now he wants to have a conversation, and the conversation he wants to have with you is about putting on the new. Putting on the new self, it says, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. To put on literally means to sink in or go under. Now think about this for a second. So it's not only sit down, but it means to sink in and go under, to be completely immersed with Jesus. Let's be completely immersed and under and put on this new self. What's the new self about? It's after the likeness of who? God, right? What was I putting off at the beginning? I was putting off me, right? All my selfishness, all my deceitful desires. All the things that I wanted, me, me, me. I got to put that off. What do I put on? The likeness of God. And so now I need to have a conversation with him as to what that looks like. Because as I do that, it says not only am I not about me anymore, I'm about what God wants for my life. That is true righteousness and true holiness, is what it said. Well, how can I have true righteousness and true holiness? There's only one way, friend. Maybe the conversation you need to have today when you sit across the table, the only way we get true righteousness and true holiness is through the person of Jesus. The only one who was truly holy and righteous, walked this earth, sinless, perfect life, died on the cross as your substitute, as my substitute, was sacrificed, bled, and died on that cross. He was buried, 3 days later rose from the grave. So that now by faith and faith alone, in Jesus and Jesus alone, I can be declared righteous. That I can stand in the holy place and have a conversation with the holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. And when we have that conversation, he's going to ask you, let's talk about putting on some stuff. Let's talk about what it is to put on the likeness of God. What does that look like? Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14 says this. Put on then. Remember that phrase, put on? It shows up again in Colossians chapter 3. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. You see the change now? Now we're being called holy and beloved. How's that possible? Because of Jesus. And so the same phrase, put on, now we get some specifics. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy, beloved, what? Compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. And if someone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, you must also forgive. And above all these things, put on love. You see that? So let's just be honest. Those are some things I need Jesus to help me put on. Those are not natural to me. But it's something we can do. You know how I know this? Because none of you came here today with your PJs on, right? None of you rolled out of bed and said, man, I'm going to roll up to church with my PJs on. You made a conscious decision to put on whatever it is you got on. It looks good. Don't get me wrong. I mean, you look good. Good choice. I chose to wear jeans, and I thought, man, is it okay for me to wear jeans? I forgot to text Jared. Jared, can I wear jeans? I'm thinking, right? I'm being intentional about it. And I said, well, you know, I don't know if I'm supposed to wear a sports coat, so I'll wear a sweater, and I'm thinking, right? But I got my boots. I'm putting my boots on. Like, that's happening, right? So, but I was intentional about what I put on this morning because I knew I was going to stand in front of you, and you're going to look at me and go, huh, he put on jeans. Unbelievable. Go back to Bedford, country boy. Yeah. But there is something about intentionality, about what, how I wanted you to see. And you said the same thing today. It's how I want people at church to see me today. As believers and followers of Christ, we can put on compassionate hearts. We can. Humility, kindness, patience. Those are all, listen, fruits of the Spirit that He has placed within you as a believer that now needs to be on display and used so that others can see. So, what does that mean for you and I here today? Here's what it means as we wrap this thing up. This is, and I appreciated the extras that I got. So now that I got a cleared table, I've removed from the table, I've sat down and rested at the table with my Jesus. And now He asks me to reset the table. I've removed the clutter, I've removed the burden, I've removed the weight. Now, I got this formal set, and my wife is watching me like a hawk right now to make sure I don't mess this up, right? So there is a napkin that goes here, right? Thank you. So far, so good. There is a salad fork and a dinner fork that also go here on the left of my plate, right? There is a knife that goes next to my right, and the blade faces in, correct? And then there is a spoon that goes to the right of that. Am I okay? All right. Then there's a glass that goes here, and then there's like a bread plate or a dessert plate that goes here. There are many other pieces in the formal, like I'm going to sit before the queen and eat a meal, but this is like, we just from Bedford, y'all. So this is the minimum, right? So I'm good, right? So you go, okay. Now Jesus says, let's reset the table. What does this mean? That means, for everybody in this room, listen to me. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're a believer, you say, man, I'm trying to figure it out. I got some stuff to remove. I got some stuff I got to deal with. I need to have a restful conversation with my Jesus. I need to find my rest and my identity in Him and Him alone. And then when He asks me to put on and be about being the church, then I need to reset this table. There's a different dinner plate for everybody in this room. This is primary ministry for me. This is my meat and potatoes. At the end of the day, they're like, Christal, what is it that God's breathed into you to do? What is it that God's uniquely designed you to do? When you get up in the morning, you think what? When you go to bed at night, you're thinking about what? What is it that you're like, man, when I feel like I'm having my conversation with Jesus, we're always having conversations about this. That is your meat and potatoes entree. I got to go to work, okay? There will always be some bread plate stuff. Now, there are some secondary things that you can put your hands to that are help. That's stuff that you're good at. No doubt about it. You're good at it. And if you did it, you'd be good at it. But it's not your passion. There are things I'm passionate about doing it. Man, I just saw a junior in high school get up here and lead us in worship. Okay? Bro, I don't know you, but that's meat and potatoes for you. Okay? That's not side plate for you. Right? Okay? Now, he probably has some side plate stuff going on that he's pretty good at as well. But it's meat and potatoes. Right? So what is that for you? Now, I know that for Jared, and I know that for some of you guys. But we all have a couple, we got our hands in some things. A dessert plate that's pretty sweet and fun to do. A bread plate that just is what it is. I got to get it done. But it exists, right? And then, look, I got some tools to work with, right? If I'm going to go at my meat and potatoes and my primary, what God's called me to do, right? We ate some steak last night. We had dinner with some friends of ours, John G. and Lene Tate, and a couple that are leaving from our church to be missionaries, and he cooked steaks on the grill. I'm telling you right now, I went to work, right? You know what I'm talking about. So God has also given you some tools. There are some unique giftings and talents and abilities that God has blessed you with to be used for your meat and potatoes so that this valley can find hope in Jesus and this church and the ministries in this church explode in growth. You say, I'm not really good at anything. I remember a conversation I had one time with a college student in Durham, North Carolina. I was in college ministry in North Carolina. I don't have time for this. Jared, I apologize. One more story. There is this guy, and I had a conversation like this with him. I'm like, bro, what's in your toolbox? What's in the tool belt? What is it that you're just good at? He goes, man, I'm good at nothing. I'm like, No. You're good at something. Tell me, like, what are you passionate about? What do you really, really love? He goes, well, I don't like kids. So if I got to work in kids ministry, I'm out. I'm like, No. He goes, I can't sing anything. So this whole deal, I'm out. And I don't preach, so I guess I have no role in the church. And I said, bro, when you wake up first thing in the morning, what is the first thing you think about? He said, honestly. He goes, coffee. I'm like, sure, absolutely. You like coffee? I said, oh, man, I love it. I got the pour over. I got the French press. I got the deal. I'm like, hey, well, next time we have an event, would you mind doing the coffee for the event? Huh? You want me to do the coffee? Yeah, can you make coffee? I'm thinking a coffee pot, right, with some, maybe a bottle of creamer from Walmart and some sugar. My guy goes out and buys the liquid pumps, like Starbucks opens up in the back of our deal. My man was like, oh, hold on a second, you want to do some coffee? Now we're talking. And all of a sudden, I found his meat and potatoes, hospitality and hosting and coffee and barista. And all of a sudden, every ministry in the church, women's ministry was like, hey, what's that guy's name? Men's ministry, what's that guy's name? Everybody wanted my guy who was the coffee guy. Listen, I don't know what it is for you, but you have tools that God has given you. And he's pointing you to a plate to reset the table this year to be about the gospel. You say, what's the glass about? Listen to me. We all need moments of refreshing. Without this on the table, this will burn you out. Without this on the table, you would replace some of us. This is my temptation. I replace this with more of these. And I get burned out. And this thing's overflowing to all end. If I don't have a way to get away and refresh with Jesus, get my alone time, fill my cup back up, I can't stay engaged. So what about you? What about you right now? What is it that God is saying to you in this moment? If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, if you're here today and I say things like Jesus died on the cross for you, he was buried, he rose again third day according to the scriptures, and by faith and faith alone in him, you can be saved. I have an invitation for you today. The invitation is this. Come sit and rest in Jesus. Stop fighting. Stop running from him. In his love for you, he is passionately pursuing you. You've been pursuing self. You need to surrender. Sit and find your rest in Jesus. You can't be good enough. You can't fix it. You can't get out ahead of this thing. The stuff that's on the table is there. There's only one way to deal with it. It's by giving it to Jesus. He's willing to take it today. There's no greater trait in the history of humanity. The God of the universe is willing to take your mess and replace it with his righteousness. You can't get any better deal than that. My invitation to you today is to come and sit and rest in Jesus. But if you're here today and say, man, I've been there. I've done that. Jesus is my Lord. He's my Savior. I love him. I'm a part of this church. Then church, it is time to stand up and let's go. This valley needs to know the hope that you have in Jesus. He's given you tools. He's given you some ministry opportunities. It is time to get up and go. So I don't know where this message finds you, whether you need to sit and rest for a little bit, and that's okay. Listen, even as a believer, I need seasons of sitting and resting and dealing with some mess that I've allowed to come back on the table. We're really, really good at removing the clutter from the table and then bringing it back on. Maybe today you need to just come and sit and rest. Maybe you are ready to stand up and go. Wherever this message finds you, I pray in this moment it finds you obedient to whatever the Holy Spirit is saying right now to your heart. So let me pray for you. and then we're going to worship together. I pray you respond. God, we thank you so much for your word today, for Ephesians chapter 4, the reminder today that we can remove the clutter from the table. God, there's a lot of weight in the room. In a room this size and this many people gathered, I can only imagine the things that are on the table. And right now, Holy Spirit, you are not only naming those things in their hearts, you're nailing it. There's specific items. There's specific sin. There's specific regret. There's specific guilt. There's a specific person that perhaps they need to engage and say they're sorry and seek forgiveness from. God, there's, Holy Spirit, you're really, really good at bringing things to the surface. And right now, God, you're doing that. There may be somebody here that has never trusted you fully as Lord and Savior. God, right now, they need to run to you to find their rest in you. So God, I pray for those in the room that are heavy burdened, that they would come and sit and find their rest in Jesus. But God, there's another percentage of this room that they're there and they have their struggles and their day-to-days, but God, they're ready to stand and go. This entire valley needs to know Jesus. They need to know the hope that can fill this valley. God, thank you for the elders here. Thank you for the leadership here. But God, thank you for this church. And as members of the body of Jesus, I'm to stand. I'm to reset the table. Understand what my tools are. Understand what my meat and potatoes is. What some of my side plates are. To find my refreshment in you. As we're going and as we're serving and as we're loving and putting on compassion, putting on humility, putting on patience, but above all these things, putting on love for this community. Oh God, use Hope Valley Church to be love and to be light in this valley, that all might come to know the hope that can be found in Jesus. We pray all this in his name. Amen.